Hey, what's up, Dolphins? It's Mike Gesicki, tight end for Miami Dolphins. The wait is over, and it's finally time for football. Make sure you check out the Fin Addicts podcast and subscribe to the Fin Addicts Network on YouTube.
It's time for the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast on the Fin Addicts Network.
The new anthem for the new era.
This episode brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy, available in the App Store, Play Store, or by visiting their website, thrivefantasy.com. Use the promo code FINADDICTS when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
Hello, everybody. Jason Sarney here with the FINADDICTS Network, and I am joined with a very special guest. And before we bring him in, I am also joined with my colleagues from the Fanatics Network, Brian Byrne and Savak Melton. But before we all start talking about Dolphins football, let's welcome in our guest from 3 yards per carry, Alfredo Ortega. Alfredo, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you. And of course, let's send it down to the column. Brian, how are you doing?
Doing great. Excited for another Dolphins podcast and ready for another Thursday night football game.
The legendary Savak, how are you, my man?
Fantastic, as always. Just like Brian said, getting excited for Thursday night football and looking forward to the Fins taking on the Bills this week.
Absolutely. We will get into that. But first, we want to bring in our guest, Alfredo, and say, you know, welcome to the show. And if there's anything that you can let our listeners know on top of 3 yards per carry, what you're doing these days, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, everybody knows us as, you know, as the trio that makes up 3 yards per carry, myself, Chris Kaufman, Simon Clancy. But it's also the Five Reasons Sports Network, where I don't think anybody has the kind of coverage that we have on the Miami Heat and the Miami Dolphins locally. Also, not behind a paywall. So all you got to do is support our sponsors, support us by buying our merchandise, and we stay free to you.
I just got to say, Five Reasons is a terrific, terrific organization. And you know what? As we're all out of Miamians, if that makes sense, you know, I'm way up. Brian's way upper than me, but Savak being in the state, but you guys do great stuff there, all sports. And of course, tonight, go Heat. We're all pulling for you. And that band block was probably one of the greatest blocks I've ever seen. But we can talk a whole show on that. So let's just get into Miami Dolphins coverage. And I know Brian wants to kick things off with a question wrapping up week two.
I do want to wrap up week two. I just want to ask you guys one quick question. Is anybody going to be a degenerate tonight and put a little bit of money down on the Bengals or the Browns?
I'm tempted to play the Browns.
I'm looking at that Bengals plus 200, and I'm tempted. But anyway, sorry about that. Alfredo, before we jump in to this week and week two, any final thoughts on the New England games? Anything you think that, you know, we should have done better? We failed. I mean, we obviously didn't win, but any final thoughts on that New England game?
Yeah, I just finished going through the all 22, and there's really not much else to say. They weren't ready for what they were going to see from Cam Newton and Josh McDaniels. Sometimes you have to tip your hat to your opponent. They scouted us correctly. They ran their offense, and we weren't prepared for it. We also had a couple of guys that played pretty badly, namely our two defensive ends, Shaq Lawson and Emmanuel Ogba. So you really just got to just toss the game and – go back to the drawing board, and now you have some film on an opponent, so you could get ready for what they want to do.
Which should come in handy because Josh Allen is going to do the exact same thing that Cam Newton did last week. So hopefully.
Yeah, although he does improvise. I did watch a little bit of the Bills-Jets game, and he does improvise a lot. It's not like Cam Newton. It's not like what Cam Newton did to us this past Sunday where it was a bunch of zone reads and – he followed blocks. Josh Allen tends to improvise on his own and just leave the pocket when he finds an opportunity and make yards that way.
Mm-hmm. He does tend to run around a little bit more, and boy, that arm. So I'm sure we'll be ready for it. But looking at the Bills home opener now, Dolphins seem to have a crowded backfield going on back there. And aside from Jordan Howard's touchdown, Miles Gaskin seemed to be the most effective running back in the game. So how do you see that group shaking out moving into this week against the Bills?
Well, this wasn't what we saw in camp. I went to every single practice in training camp, and it was pretty clear to all of us that watched training camp that Jordan Howard's probably going to be the first and second down back, and Breda was going to be the number three guy, the third down back. And all of a sudden, we're playing four backs against the Patriots and playing them out of different personnel groupings. I wasn't surprised that Jordan Howard was running out of 12 and 21 personnel, because that seems to be his MO. He's a good one cut back. But I do want to see more of Matt Breda. I know that Miles Gaskin had a good training camp. They seem to have rewarded him, and he actually produced 66 yards on 13 touches is not bad. But I do want to see more of what we saw in training camp, which is that 1-2 punch we were promised.
I agree there on wanting to see more of the 1-2 punch. You know, Howard had those 8 carries, 7 yards. The touchdown took him a couple of times to get in there. So, you know, that was the only knock on really the offensive line to me, was the goal line situation and Howard, what have you. But the Gaskin is surprising. The Gaskin playing, but I do think that that's a good problem to have, really. I think someone said that in one of the press conferences that, you know, there are capable backs. I see this running back by committee, much like how in New England, did things last year and years prior. There's going to be a guy who might just show up that everyone doesn't have on their fantasy team or no one thinks of, and then all of a sudden there's a controversy. But, you know, moving on to the other side of the ball and kind of specifically in the defensive backfield, you know, the top three played really well. Xavien Howard, Byron Jones shadowed, Noah Igbinoghene did very, very well in addition to those three. And that's really it. It was very kind of thin in that cornerback rotation. Do you see the same kind of defensive rotation or defensive mindset for Josh Allen? Or do you think they're going to try to mix it up, realizing that the Cam Newton rushing ability, they really weren't able to stop that? How do you see that defensive mindset, certainly with the middle of the field kind of playing out?
Well, Xavien Howard played 27 snaps, so I do expect them to get that snap count up. Noah Igbinoghene, if he stays as the nickel corner, that's fine. If he spells Xavien Howard a little bit in our base, which I don't know the Bills are going to play too much of it. They like to play a lot of 11 personnel. So we're going to have a nickel out there. So, yeah, I don't expect many changes, because really we shouldn't be worrying about those guys. If we start worrying about our secondary, then we really have issues.
Right.
Do you think they could change it all? Because Jamal Wiltz definitely struggled in the slot. He had a few guys running free from him. It looked like at points, too, they switched it up in the second half. Do you see that possibly they could change from Jamal Wiltz maybe to Needham or to go to Igbinoghene full-time in the slot?
Yeah, I think that the snaps, the way that they were divvied up in the first game, you could tell that it was mostly driven by Xavien Howard being on a snap count. So if they take that restriction off, I would say that Perry is likely the one to lose the most snaps. And maybe Needham gets in a little bit to spell either Howard or Jones.
And I do have a question for you about Devontae Parker. But before we do that, I just wanted to backtrack one quick thing. There was a little weird thing that happened on Sunday. The announcers on TV announced that Jordan Howard had a hamstring injury and was nursing it, and then there was news after the fact that there was not a hamstring injury. Do you have any clarity on that? Was there a hamstring, or was there not?
I think that was probably a producer that got caught up in the air, and then Romo just said it, but I don't think that was accurate at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't appear on the Wednesday report.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Devontae Parker's health? And was he back at practice, looked good before week one, before leaving the game? And what are your expectations for him this weekend?
Well, he's limited this week, so we just don't know. I would say that you're going to probably see something, you know, today is Thursday when we're recording this. But I would say – you know, stay tuned until Saturday, and they'll probably release that he'll be a game-time decision, because he was limited, and that's usually Brian Flores' MO. Whenever a guy is limited all week, he just leaves it up to a game-time decision. But he's important, because it seems like – we said it on our own podcast that when he left the game, it seemed like we were completely out of ideas offensively.
If he can't go, you know, like you said, we weren't open after he left the game. If he can't go, what do you see Miami doing to get the wide receivers open, or, you know, try, because as they just went invisible, do you see him maybe bringing in other personnels or any other options on what to do to help out the other guys if Parker can't go?
Well, I was shocked that Malcolm Perry wasn't active for the first game, because we saw a lot of him in training camp. And I can't reveal how they used them because, you know, those NFL rules, those rules that they put on us. But you can kind of guess of how they would use somebody like Malcolm Perry. You know, they traded for Lynn Bowden. Maybe they just got to get a little bit trickier and try to fool defenses a little bit if they're just not going to beat them straight up with the route tree with Devontae Parker. So, yeah, I would expect Malcolm Perry to be activated and, you know, try to get a little bit more creative, a little bit more motion, try to maybe use some flood concepts and try to, you know, fool them that way.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it segues perfectly into the next question. It's really the Chan Gailey offense and how Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of felt comfortable. I didn't see a very huge comfort level. I'm not saying he played, quote unquote, badly. I'm saying there were a couple of misreads. Maybe he went to the first guy and he should have went to the second or third read. And obviously the second interception was bad. You can't really fault him for the Preston slip, you know, and the third interception, was it the right throw? What have you? Was there a penalty? Probably. But I'd like to talk about just the kind of the blandness of the offense. Do you see anything maybe picking up? You mentioned some trickery almost. I'd love to see them use those speed merchants in Grant, and maybe if they activate Perry. But what are your thoughts on the Gailey offense, and how is it going to be more efficient here?
Well, I don't have any problems with the personnel groupings that they were using, because it was, you know, it was pretty diverse. So I don't have a problem with that. I really don't have any problems with the run calls. Like all the run calls, you know, it's what Gailey's been calling for hundreds of years now. So, you know, it's a lot of lead ISO, a lot of inside zone. So I have no problems with that. What I do have a problem with is in the passing game, you have to put people in motion, and you have to try to identify what they're playing against you. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick, I felt, and after going over the all 22, I thought he was rushing a lot of passes,
yep,
making decisions way too quick. And somebody on Twitter told me, you know, he's not used to, you know, having all this time that he had on this past Sunday. So maybe it was the clock was a little bit sped up and he didn't know he had really good pass protection this past Sunday. But I think if he holds it an extra half count, he's going to see that some routes popped. But I would like to see much more motion this Sunday.
That was one of my concerns while rewatching the game, is seeing some of the route concepts that he was imploring, because it takes me back to his introductory press conference. So Chan said all the right things, said we need to have a scheme that can be adjusted to fit the personnel that we have. And it didn't completely seem like that's what was happening, is you have these two big bodied receivers who specialize in catching 50-50 balls down the field, and you've got them running short distance curls and comebacks. Just seemed kind of curious to me. So I guess that does, to me, I feel like we need a bit more explosiveness on that offense, which I guess you kind of alluded to the next thing, which we were going to ask. Do you see Perry or Bowden getting activated this week to maybe take over punts from Grant or just add explosiveness?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. I don't know if they take away Grant's return duties, but I don't know why you would spend so much time with Malcolm Perry in training camp and then not have him active the first week. So I was shocked he was inactive the first week. So I would expect he'd be active this week.
I loved your comments too on the motion. It was shown that I believe we were in motion 20% of the offensive snaps, which was
17%.
Yep. So bottom five of the NFL. So yeah, that absolutely needs to pick up. And you know, Savaka has another question, but we have to do this for every one of our guests. Do you have a game prediction for this week and a final record prediction for the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I predicted before the season started that they would go 9-7 and get that last playoff spot. I would say that a win this Sunday puts them right on schedule. But then again, you know, we've seen that Brian Flores, you know, the sample size is not too big, But we saw how the team improved as the season went on last year. So it would have shocked me if they lost this Sunday and they still managed to get those 9 wins. But I would say this weekend is pretty important. So I would say they get it together and they win a close game this Sunday. Let's call it 21-19.
What do you think is the absolute key this week to get that 21-19 win?
They have to have a running game, and they have to have a commitment to the running game, and they have to meet certain benchmarks. One benchmark you can have is have 30 carries. Last week, they fell behind and they said, all right, that's it. We're just going to throw it all over the lot, and we're going to call a few pet plays that Ryan Fitzpatrick likes, and that's it. And that's how we're going to get back into the game. And they managed to get back into the game that way. But you can't do that against Buffalo. Their defense is really, really good. You're going to have some type of balance. And if people are going to call it boring, that's fine. But it's going to be winning football if they manage to pull it off.
Absolutely. I agree. I don't mind if it's a dull affair, as long as we're putting points on the board. Mm-hmm. So lastly, Alfred, we very much appreciate your time, especially with the Heat playoff game tonight. But of course, this is a Dolphins show, so we have to ask you the quarterback take. So how has practice been this week for Ryan Fitzpatrick, and can we expect a rebound from him or the entire offense this week? Do you think it's coming?
Well, traditionally, Ryan Fitzpatrick, everybody says, okay, he should bounce back this week. Well, that's never really been the case. Like, he's had two bad games in a row. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to expect he's going to be better. I thought he was bad. Some people take issue with my characterization of how he played last Sunday. I thought he was bad. I thought he played bad football. So he has to be better. And if he's better, they have a chance.
So dare I ask, if he is not better, is Tua on your radar any sooner based on his performance?
Well, they would have a short week the following week, right? But mm-hmm. kind of the right opponent, I would say. So if he's ready to go, Brian Flores has shown he's not the most patient man, okay? If you remember last year, he went to Josh Rosen week 3.
Mm-hmm.
He had seen enough. So it wouldn't shock me in the least bit. If the game is close at halftime, but the offense is completely anemic, you can see Tua in the second half on Sunday.
Wow. I love it, Alfredo. I went on record saying if Ryan Fitzpatrick throws another dud, we will see Tua week 3. So I get a little justification there.
I would never root against our team.
Of course not. I want Fitzpatrick to win.
But should he put up a stinker this week and we see Tua week 3, I'm going to be at that game, so I would not be that mad.
That would be the greatest golden ticket that you might have ever purchased prior to purchasing it. And I don't think you'd give that up for your life. But Alfredo, I really agree with you before I, you know, express a thanks for jumping on here and letting you go. But I think your appraisal of Ryan Fitzpatrick's performance was pretty much dead on. I'm not saying he played horrible, but, you know, for anyone to say that he just made one or two mistakes, I think that's off. I think that you hit the nail on the head. I think there was a couple of just – he held the ball. He got rid of the ball too quick. Just make another read. He's a veteran. He now needs to know how to go through those progressions. But mm-hmm. I think he comes back. I loved your score prediction. I'm going to just maybe add a point and say that it's going to be an overtime affair because the Dolphins love to give us heart attacks. So I'm going to say I like your mindset, but let's get an overtime situation unless somebody walks off with a safety win if you're Miami, like a wake-off win. That would be great. But thank you so much, Alfredo. And if there's anything you could let everyone else know where you are again and what you're doing, you know, take us out of here.
Well, you can find us on Twitter at 3 yards per carry, and that's the number 3 yards per carry. Our podcast, you could get us anywhere, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, anywhere you get your podcast, you could find us. And of course, our network, Five Reasons Sports Network. We have a website, fivereasonssportsnetwork.com.
Check out their shop too. I own a couple of your t-shirts. They're really cool, Miami-themed shirts. Definitely grab one of those, and let's go Heat and fins up, huh?
Yeah.
Go Heat, fins up. Thanks again, Alfredo.
All right, thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, and that was Alfredo Ortega of the 3 Yards Per Carry Sports Network, as well as 5 Reasons Sports Network, so we appreciate him taking the time in Miami Heat basketball season. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Now we're going to have a quick little pay-the-bill session from our sponsor, Manscaped.
Right at this moment, there are men everywhere, doing manly things. Beards unkempt, hair run amok, leaving them in a state of hair despair. And that's just what we can see. Never mind what's going on downstairs. But it doesn't have to be that way. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com and enter our promo code FINSUP to save an instant 20%, get free shipping, and help quell the hair despair in your life. These bearded bros are counting on you. Won't you help them?
I am so glad that you played that. Guys, I got to tell you, I opened up my Manscaped package, and don't do it when your nine-year-old is present, because I had to upgrade the talk a couple of years because he wanted to know what certain things were. But come on, look at this bed that you get. You get everything in here. This is amazing, everybody. You really got to get on the Manscaped train because choo-choo, everybody. Fantastic.
I gotta do you one better, Jason. So
I received
my package yesterday and opened it up, and I was shooting with Perfectville last night, so I had to check it out and give it the old ride. And I'm 42 years old, and I've been shaving the hedges, we'll say, for quite some time. And I don't know in my life if I've never not had a nick. I did not have a nick yesterday when I used the Manscaped. The Head Trimmer 3?
Lawnmower 3.0.
Lawnmower 3.0. And then the deodorant was fantastic. You need this in today's world. Just jump on board. Use the Fins Up code.
I'm a big proponent of that gear. I love that bag, and you get this awesome t-shirt. By the way, this isn't a new t-shirt. It's just the same one turned around. I put it on backwards today. But
efficiency. That's all that is. Like a Swiss Army shirt. You can do it multiple ways. You know?
I agree. This thing is awesome. And look, that Lawnmower 3.0, it is awesome. You can use it everywhere, and it's the best way to look like Peter North down south. If you guys got that reference, although most people won't want to admit it.
Pretty old school. Well,
I got to tell you, we're talking about nicks, which segues beautifully to the injury report. Let's hope that no one ends up on the injury report with nicks like Brian has received. That's just really embarrassing. And if anybody's curious about my grooming, it's none of your damn business. So the injury report, Brian, go ahead.
Yep, as we're recording this today on Thursday, the new one is not out, but I will share with you the injury report from that was released yesterday, and there's some very key Bills on there. We have did not practice for the Bills, John Brown with a foot. Tremaine Edmonds, probably their top outside linebacker, did not practice with a shoulder. Matt Milano, a run-stuffing defensive linebacker, did not practice with the hamstring. Delshawn Phillips, another linebacker, did not practice with a quad. Limited were Tyrell Dodson, another linebacker with a neck. And the entire franchise, Jake Fromm was limited. He was quarantined. I think that's mainly just to keep him apart from, keep him safe from COVID. And full practice for the Bills, DT Vernon Butler. On the Dolphins side, a little bit better news. The only person that didn't practice was Elandon Roberts. He has a concussion. Hopefully he can clear through that before Sunday. But Clayton Fedulum did return to practice in a limited fashion for that pectoral. Jakeem Grant was at practice, limited with a calf. Xavien Howard, limited at practice with the knee. Byron Jones, limited at practice with the knee. Devontae Parker, limited at practice with a hamstring, full practice, Kyle Van Noy with that hand, and Preston Williams with his knee.
Good rundown, and now that's going to bring us to the key matchups. And look, it's a rivalry game, Savak. It's a home opener, and Tua is in the air. It just started, so I'm not saying we're going to see him. I'm not saying I want to see him. What we want is a 31-9 slugfest with Fitzpatrick slinging 3 touchdowns, 300 yards. But will that happen? We don't know. We hope that he rebounds. I'd like to know both of yours. I'll give mine last. What's the key matchups to look for, Savak, on Sunday?
Well, mine specifically, I've got two position groups that I'm looking at. The first one, of course, our wide receiving core. We need to see them find separation against this secondary. We need to find them getting into open space, catching the ball, getting down the field, and, of course, getting in the end zone. And the other one, which we didn't talk about all, you know, right before we got started doing the key matchups, the running backs. Especially with all of those injuries Brian just listed, can we get our run game going?
Savak, you literally just stole that. I was going to say I have two. With them so banged up at linebacker, we have no excuse not to run the ball. We have to commit to running the ball. It's going to be 100 degrees with 100% humidity. Chan Gailey, run the ball. Jordan Howard is a big, big man, and by the third quarter, they will not be able to tackle him. So that's definitely one key. My other key would definitely be the Dolphins secondary. You know, we're going to try to limit Josh Allen from running like Cam Newton did. We're going to try to limit the running backs they have. They have some talented running backs, but we cannot afford to let them, on top of the running game that we will allow some, we cannot let Stephon Diggs beat us on a 50-yard pass. We cannot let John Brown get free. And, you know, also we can't, we had trouble in the middle of the field last week. You know, Cam Newton, I'm pretty sure, only had one contested throw of all of his completions. Everybody else was just running free down the middle of the field or in the flat. So we got to limit Cole Beasley. He cannot be open in the middle of the field. We have to get somebody on him. The one play that, you know, they try to hit Edelman in, Bobby McCain came in and smacked the ball out of his hands. We need to see a lot more of that to be successful this week.
I agree with you and your points with, you know, clearly you need to run the ball. You know, both of your points, you know, you need to run the ball. It is going to be a hot, hot day. Jordan Howard even said at a press conference a couple of weeks back, he trained down in Miami. You know, he's used to this humidity. He's used to this kind of sluggish weather that the defense could be affected by. He doesn't care. It's not going to affect him. So if the Dolphins can develop some sort of a lead, if for whatever, you know, benefit, for reason, they're just blowing them out, Jordan Howard could just finish this game up. And that would be of paramount importance. So to play off your point, my actual number one key is finding a spy on Josh Allen, whether it's just one person's responsibility the entire time. I don't care what they have to do, what they've been doing in practice. Obviously, I can't tell you because I'm not there. Even if people were there, they can't tell you. My guess would be maybe if they were doing that, have one of those rookies just pretend he's Josh Allen, you know, a Lynn Bowden, a Malcolm Perry, just put on that red jersey, say, do not touch him. This is Josh Allen. So whoever that spy was working in practice trying to read that option, now you get to hit him or now you get to hit the running back. But that's what they need to do. If Josh Allen has anything over 35 rushing yards, it's going to be a problem unless it's that helter-skelter in the fourth quarter. So that's my key. I'm going to play off of that Cole Beasley middle of the field defense as well, Bri. You need someone in the slot to push him off the route. And I think if that's a strength of someone, maybe say Noah Igbinoghi or even a Nick Needham, you know, maybe we see some of Needham this week, but who knows? But hopefully. I agree. I think those are some good matchups that you guys brought up.
I think the guys, you know, we obviously don't have Rashad Jones to bring down there and spy on him. We're not going to be able to spy on him with Jerome Baker, middle linebacker. They're going to get guards on him. If Clayton Fedulum is healthy and can go, he would be a really good guy to put in there in the box, an extra in the box safety to make sure Josh Allen doesn't take advantage of us. He has the power to be able to tackle a man like Clayton Fedulum. It's not like we can spy him with Bobby McCain. He's just too big. Although a couple years ago, Bobby McCain had a sack on Josh Allen that made me say, holy cow. But yeah, I think Clayton Fedulum is definitely, you know, one of those guys. Maybe another linebacker, Sam McGuavin, comes in and he spies him. We do dual mid linebackers, but there's gotta be some tactic because we, you know, last week it looked like we ignored all Carolina game tape and we didn't put anyone on Cam Newton. and we have to get somebody spying on him. We can't allow him to beat us on his feet. We really can't allow him to beat us on his arm probably a little bit more, but we gotta
limit. I think that's the key, though. If we can keep him contained in the pocket and keep pressure on him, it'll make it that much more difficult for him to beat us with his arm. Because, you know, we know there are some limitations, not in terms of arm strength, but in terms of accuracy. So if we can keep pressure on him and keep him in the pocket, we will stand a much better chance against him.
We've seen what Xavien Howard has done to Josh Allen when he stays in the pocket. He turns into Josh Allen's favorite receiver. So let's keep him in the pocket and get Howard some INTs, baby.
That would be great. And look, you know, if Josh Allen is going to throw bombs to Stephon Diggs and be extremely accurate, which I don't think is an extremely realistic situation consistently, the entire NFL is in big trouble. So make him throw. Make sure he's not beating you with both aspects. And Savak, you are the Peyton Manning of the promo. I need you to get us out of here with where you could find us and everything else that we're doing.
We didn't give our game predictions. We got to do our predictions first.
Oh, we got to do our game predictions. I'm too nervous to give game predictions. Okay, my bad. It's Thursday. I get very nervous on Thursday. So, Brian, give us our game prediction. What do you got first?
Yeah, I think that Florida Heat's going to be too much. I think Fitzpatrick is going to rebound as much as I'd like to see Tua week three. I think Fitz is going to come back, but I really think that Florida Heat is just going to be too much in the second half. If you guys remember a few years ago, I think it was 2015, Knowshon Moreno just destroyed the Patriots in that Florida Heat. I look for something like that to happen. I'm going to go 24-14 Dolphins.
So, Vak, what you got?
Got to piggyback a little bit off of what Brian said there. It's true that heat is serious down there. The humidity is something else. I mean, there's a reason that we've beaten, you know, the Patriots down in Miami more often than not. So I'm going to go ahead and agree that heat is going to be something to reckon with. And I think the game is going to end up being 17-14 Miami's way.
I'm going to agree with the three-point differential. I'm hoping it doesn't go to extra bonus frame football because if I'm nervous on Thursday, nobody wants to see me on Sunday at 3:15 or 3:45. That's even worse. So I think we're going to go to stay exactly on point with what Alfredo said during the show. He liked 21-19. I'm going to go 21-18. I think it's going to be that three-point situation, maybe even an overtime game, 18-18, for whatever weird reason, going into an extra frame. I hope I'm wrong. And it's a 31-9 ease. But when does that happen, gentlemen?
Right. That is a weird one. 18-18. That'd be great. I'd love that.
I don't know. Give me 22-19 or something weird. I like a weird two-point conversion situation here or there.
Or safety.
Exactly right.
Absolutely.
So go ahead, buddy. Get us out of here with those areas and where people could find us.
You got it. Now make sure you subscribe to the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast and leave us a review. We're available where all podcasts are available. There's Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. We're probably on there. We do what we do for all of you. So get on there, leave us a nice review. Of course, follow us, the Fin Addicts Network, on YouTube, youtube.com/FinAddictsNetwork. And of course, follow us on Twitter at @Fin_Addicts. We love communicating with you guys. You guys are wonderful. And don't forget the hotline. So we love hearing from you guys. We love when you guys ask our guest questions, give us feedback, make fun of one of us. Doesn't really matter. Comment on my awesome shirt. But the hotline number is 786-309-7558. One more time, 786-309-7558. Get on there. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Whatever you want.
And don't forget about our Survivor Pool. It's going to start week three, only a $25 entry. You pick one game a week. The winner is going to get 75% of the prize, the pool. The other awesome prize is Hall of Famer Jason Taylor autograph. We're also going to do a charity portion of that. We're going to donate 20% of the proceeds to the JT Foundation. So here's a chance to win money, win a Jason Taylor autograph, and be charitable and a good person all in one swoop. Jump on @Fin_Addicts at Twitter to join in, or just email us at info@FinAddictsNetwork.
You didn't say your special word, made up word. The hashtag Jason Taylor graph.
The Jason Taylor graph is the prize.
Love it. Well, good luck to everyone in the rest of your week and whatever you're doing on Thursday Night Football. Fins up, everybody. We'll
Fins
see you.
Up.
Guys, can we please, when we do the post-game report on Sunday, I was depressed last Sunday. Let's please get a win and do a really happy post-game report.
Can we have an Fins upbeat up. One?
We can control. Fins up, sir. Everybody.